President Obama will be in Normandy, France tomorrow to mark the 65th anniversary of D-Day. And when he steps onto the podium at the U.S. cemetery overlooking Omaha Beach, he'll be carrying on a tradition that began a quarter of a century ago. That was when President Ronald Reagan made one of his greatest speeches. It honored those who died there and spoke in cinematic language of what the American Rangers had to do.
They shot rope ladders over the face of these cliffs and began to pull themselves up. When one ranger fell, another would take his place. When one rope was cut, a ranger would grab another and begin his climb again.
President Reagan went on to call them the men who took the cliffs, the heroes who ended a war. Ever since that 1984 speech, presidents have made pilgrimages to Normandy. Doris Kearns Goodwin is a presidential historian who brings perspective to this moment. And welcome back to our program.
Absolutely.
Let's start with the words we've just heard. What was it about President Reagan's speech that transformed this anniversary?
I think what was so extraordinary about the speech was that he was able to recreate what it must have been like for those boys on that day at that time. He gave you a feeling, which is what great history can do, of going back in time to capture that moment. And then at the same time, he also used it as a way of talking about there still remains battles. Some liberated countries were lost to the Soviet Union, and today our troops still remain for that purpose to defend democracy. And yet at the same time, while he's pointing that out, he says no reconciliation is more desired now than with the Soviet Union. So the peaceful hand offered at the same time as stretching the idea that we were actually still having things to fight.
So not only was President Reagan's speech a poetic one, it was useful as a way to outline broad policy goals. And how have presidents done that?
Well, I think everybody who goes there understands that it is a memorable moment of history. You know, obviously, when President Clinton went there, he had a different situation that he faced because at that time, Russia was, as he said, already reborn in democracy. The Berlin Wall had fallen, but he himself had to show respect for the veterans because of his not having served in the war in Vietnam and some of the feelings that he had been a draft dodger. So the importance for him personally was to make a graceful speech that honored the veterans whose lives had been lost. And so I think it worked for him in that sense because he gave power to the veterans and left it at that rather than trying to make some larger goal.
President Bush in 2004, at the beginning of the Iraq War, had quite a different agenda and quite a different challenge.
Yes, for President Bush going in 2004, for one thing, he was a candidate for re-election that year. And more importantly, France had already had media during that week prior to his coming with mixed images. On the one hand, they showed the GIs liberating France. On the other hand, they had pictures of Abu Ghraib. And the president of France, Chirac, had been a strong opponent of the Iraqi war. So there was some question about how Bush would be received. But for both President Chirac and Bush, what was important was to re-stress that once they had been unbreakable allies. And they both did that in their words.
Which brings us to President Obama, who's giving his speech tomorrow at a very interesting time. He has just made his speech, as he characterized it, to the Muslim world in Cairo. Does that make it easier or harder?
I think the same tone that characterized that speech in Cairo, where the benefit of it was not simply in its rhetorical flourishes or in the policy that it talked about, but the entire temperament that it evinced, the willingness to look on different sides of issues that are pretty contentious, and to see things from other people's point of view. So it may be that coming after Cairo, it doesn't stand alone in the same way, but it probably will be a bookend to Cairo in terms of trying to talk to a world that is divided in many ways, going back to a time when the Allies stood together in clear certainty about what they were doing.
Thank you very much for joining us.
You are very, very welcome.
Historian Doris Kearns Goodwin, her latest book is Team of Rivals, The Political Genius of Abraham Lincoln.